All right, Jake's turn now. All right, Jake.
Hello. Thanks for letting me be here.
It's a pleasure, Jake. It's a pleasure to have you here with us tonight. Thank you. We're going to talk about when you were young. Okay?
Okay.
Well, Jake looks pretty youthful. Wouldn't you?
I've got a beard okay. coming, actually, if you look close
yeah,
now.
This is a big year this year. Yeah, it's had to have the clean shaven talk at work, haven't you?
Yeah. So it's been great.
Now, Jake, we know that as Christians, it's really important to reach out to others that don't know Jesus. Yeah, we know that. We're told that all the time. We hear about that. But, you know, when you're young, when you're at school or, you know, at college years and so on, that's not an easy thing, is it? I'll say, so can you remember all that time ago when you were young, back when you were at school and college and so on, did you let others know you were a Christian? And if you did, how did you do that?
So most of my friends that I had knew I was a Christian, more because there'd be a situation, they'd be like, oh, what do you think about that? And I'd be like, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't really like that, or I don't agree with that. I never used to jump around and shout that I was a Christian, because I probably wouldn't have had any friends if I'd got into people's faces. So I had a bit more of a chilled out side to it. So if someone came and asked a question, or if we were having a chat, just having lunch or something, I would maybe be like, well, I'm a Christian, so I believe that this is why that's happening, or this is why it's going down.
Okay, so you were able to give a Christian viewpoint, perspective into conversations
yeah.
or debates that were going on, or
yeah, that kind of
things
stuff,
that were being discussed, yeah? And you weren't afraid to do that? That's just... Did you have any other Christian mates at school with you? Just you?
Not in my group of friends, no. No, there were other Christians around, and we all... Well,
yeah.
It's not like we all knew each other. It wasn't that smaller school.
Yeah.
But we knew each other, and we knew who was a Christian.
Yeah.
So.
Great stuff. Thank you. Okay, Kat. Hello, Kat.
Hello.
Kat, my first question to you, Kat, is what advice would you give to a young Christian growing up in a family who don't share the same belief in God?
Okay, so I've got quite a good experience of this. So I'm not from a Christian family. My parents think God is a load of nonsense and the idea of going to church is a little bit weird. And so I think as a young person who maybe you've been on a summer camp or you've come to youth club and you've started to get a bit more interested in God and maybe you've started praying, but the idea of going home and saying to your family, yeah, Mum, I'm a Christian. Guess what? Like, you think, oh no, that would end in disaster. My advice would be, don't worry. Like, your family, they will always love you no matter what your beliefs are. They love you so much anyway. And I discovered that. It took me years and years before I felt comfortable to talk to my parents and my sister about the fact that I thought prayer worked. And I believed that Jesus was actually not just a fictional character, but a real guy. Like, it took me so long to be able to say that and not just think that my family will think I'm really, really weird and they won't take it seriously. But actually, it was okay. So my first bit of advice is don't worry about sharing your beliefs or exploring your beliefs and telling your family about that, because they love you anyway. They're not going to think, they might think you're a bit weird, but they're not going to change how much they love you. And my second bit of advice is that it can be really hard to hold on to your beliefs when the people who are most important to you in the world do think it's a load of nonsense. That can be really hard. So get stuck into youth club, get stuck into a really good group of Christian mates or leaders or whoever it is. Get to know them really well. So when you start doubting, and your family make you feel like it is a load of rubbish, then you've got somewhere you can go and talk and share your doubts and share your questions.
That's good. Thank you. It's back to Joe. Joe, I guess this question in lots of ways is good preparation for next Sunday morning. Joe's doing the talk on this overcoming temptation, more about Joseph next Sunday. Tune in. A Baptist church near you, and this isn't necessarily, Joe, why I put this in, but you know, I did think it might sort of chiv you along getting ready for next week. But we probably all know that it's not a sin to be tempted, but what do you find helps you when you're faced with situations where you're under pressure to do what deep down you know would be the wrong thing?
Cool. So similar to Jake, when I was growing up, a lot of my mates weren't Christians. So a lot of the situations I was getting myself into, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally, weren't always the best situations. And something that I found, the main thing that I found really helpful, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're like, I'm surrounded by people who are doing something that I know to be wrong, even if it's something like, I remember an example, we were all in a room on a camp, and we were all watching an 18 film. And I was sitting there thinking, this is wrong, I shouldn't be watching this. Why am I watching this? What am I doing with my life? And I remember sitting there for ages, kind of watching it, half thinking, oh, it's fine, I'll just forget about it. I'll just go home and forget I ever watched it. But it doesn't really work like that with imagery and with films and stuff you watch, stuff you listen to. It sticks in your brain. I remember getting to about halfway through this film and thinking, the only way that I'm going to stop this situation, because I can't just jump up, turn the TV off and say, we're not watching it, because they want to watch it, that's fair enough, that's their choice. The only way that I could stop myself being involved was just to get up and walk away. And so my advice to you guys, if you're ever in a situation where you're like, this is not where I want to be, I don't want to be part of this, then get up and walk away. And people may think you're a bit odd. They were like, oh, why did you walk away? And then, if anything, it's a great opportunity to say, well, I walked away because I don't think it was right to watch that. I don't think it was right to do that. I don't think it was right to take part in that. And the second thing I'd say is just pray about it. You know, like, if you're in a situation where, or you come away from a situation thinking, oh, I was in the wrong, I got tempted there and I let it happen, and I'm in the wrong situation and I let it happen, just be like, just pray. Talk to God, say, you know, I was in the wrong situation, what went wrong there, what did I do wrong, how can it not happen again, help me to not happen again. So the first thing is run away as fast as you can, and the second thing is just pray about it.
That's good. Yeah, because I mean, temptation, it wouldn't be difficult if it wasn't stuff that you kind of like, that appeals to you, you know, that part of you, you know, we wish it didn't, but part of us wants to do, because we're in that difficult, well, the heat's on in those situations, isn't it? It's difficult. That's good. Okay, it's Beth again. Okay, great question here. And there's only Bethany allowed to answer this question, all right? Have you ever found church boring? I did say, right, at the moment, no, I tell you what, there'll be lots of opportunity for everybody else to answer that question. Maybe tomorrow evening would be a good time. But have you ever found church boring? And if so, what do you think is the answer?
Yes, sometimes. But I think for me, if you do find church boring, I know certainly when I was 14, 15, 16, I found it very boring, mainly because I was making it boring. So I think by getting involved, getting stuck in, like, if you think it's boring, make it unboring. Go do something, like help set up tea and coffee, like help with the kids out the back, whatever it is, to make it not boring for you, go for it. Because if you come to this church, you're part of this church. So you have every right to make it not boring because it's your church as well. But for me also, I think it's important to remember that the church doesn't revolve around me. The talks aren't always geared for me, because we're a family, and like in every family, there are older people, there are little people, there are people in the middle. So the talk can't always be geared at people my age, and sometimes the talk's going to be geared at people who are older than me, which is fine. And yeah, I'll probably find those talks boring. No offence to whoever does them.
It's okay.
Dad. But that's fine. Like, don't feel like bad because you're sat listening to someone talk and you're probably going straight over your head, you've got no idea what's going on. But again, just get stuck in. Like, say, okay, I know that the talk today is about something that I'm not going to have a clue about, but I'm going to help with tea and coffee today so I can look forward to doing that or whatever. But remember that it's your church as well. So, like, you have every right to make it not boring for yourself, because the church just, it's not about one person, it's about everybody.
That's good. Get involved. Yeah, get involved. That's good. All right, so Jake, it's your question next. And for a lot of these guys here that have been away on summer camps, this is something, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about this now. Being away at a Christian summer camp, it can make you feel like living the Christian life is quite easy. It's sort of like it can feel a bit like a Christian bubble, really, can't it? And when you get home, you need to find ways to stay strong. You need to find ways to keep growing in your faith. Did you ever find it hard when you came back from various camps that you've been on? And if you did find it hard, what helped you?
I did find it hard, purely because on the summer camps and various other camps like that, it's so heavily involved with Jesus and everything. You know, everything's geared towards that. That when you're not in that situation, when it's just a normal life, it can be difficult to keep the focus there. So for me, what I used to do, and still do, I listen to a lot of music, and you know, a lot of Christian music, and that really helps me carry on that focus. And as well as that, just being around other Christians and having a laugh. Because the thing that I remember most about all my summer camps is having fun. So if I'm with my friends having fun, that will make me remember about all the good stuff that happened at the summer camps. And then that will progress into some other good stuff.
That's right. Because you really need to ground it, really, don't you, after the excitement and also, you know, because you've got that whole concentration and focus on God during summer camps, you need to find ways to kind of build that into your life on a regular basis, don't you, as well?
Yeah, so that's really important.
That's good advice. Thank you, Jake. Awesome. Okay, Kat. Okay, big question, Kat. Have you ever had doubts about your faith in God?
Yes, definitely, especially in the early days of my faith. And I could include that like about 5 or 6 years at least of having very regular doubts about whether God even existed, whether I wanted to be a Christian at all, whether Jesus really did rise from the dead. I spent quite a long time telling people I was a Christian, but I didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I just hadn't joined the two together, that they were quite significant. And it took me a while to kind of get my head around all of the things that you kind of learn through church and learn through youth clubs. And I did have doubts. And I had a point where I really did feel like I was kind of clinging onto my faith by the skin of my teeth. I thought, I just don't believe that God exists anymore. But all my friendship groups are now in church. And if I leave the church, then I won't have any friends anymore. And so I kind of need to find my faith again. And because I wanted it back, even though I had those doubts, God never let me go. He never let me go so far that I went away from him. So I think it's normal to have doubts. It's probably fairly healthy to have doubts because it means you question things and you grow a real faith with real depth. And after that time when I had really, really big doubts and I really thought God just was not there at all, actually, after that, my faith really grew and it really became much more solid because I'd wrestled with those doubts. So if you doubt, it's not a bad thing. It's a good, healthy thing to do. And asking questions and saying, actually, why is there all this killing in the Bible? Why is this the way that things are? You know, it just doesn't make sense. Like, that's not bad to ask those questions. That's how we get to know God better. And as long as we cling on to the truth and the things that we know that are sure about him, that we're certain of, that he is a good God and that he loves us, then all the rest of that wrestling and that doubt that might go with it is only going to grow your faith.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, it gives us room to explore, doesn't he? He wants us to question. He wants us to ask, doesn't he? And he rewards those who seriously, earnestly seek him. And it's a healthy thing to want to explore it. That's great. Thank you. Okay, so a few questions about relationships here. And Joe, you got the first question. First question is, girlfriends and boyfriends, what guidelines would you give to a young person getting into a relationship?
Where do I start? So if you're starting a relationship, boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, I think aside from everything else and stuff that, you know, is obviously important to listen to your parents about what they say about relationships and stuff is really important. But one of the most important things is keep God at the center of that relationship. And that's for any relationship, whether it's a friendship or, you know, trying to boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever it is. Keep God at the center. Because if God's at the center of the relationship, then it's going to thrive. And it may not be the one, you know, and it may not be the person that you go on to marry or whatever, but what you get out of that will be 10 times better, and the way that you deal with that relationship will be 10 times better than the alternative. So my ex-girlfriend, we broke up about 6 months ago, but throughout the time, kind of unwaringly, I'd put my identity and I'd put my... I decided that my happiness kind of came from her. And so I'd kind of put God to the side of that relationship and put her at the center. And when I put her at the center, suddenly everything that I knew about God and everything that I knew about living for Jesus kind of took a back seat almost. And whilst I was happy to talk to her about it, and I would go openly talk to her about it, and at one point she was like, "Oh yeah, I really want to be a Christian," which was amazing. At the end of the day, God wasn't in the center of that relationship. God had a back seat. So I would say, aside from everything else to do with relationships, because it's a massive topic and there's so much I could say, but I think the most important thing is keep God at the center of it and make sure that your identity is still in Christ and that you're still worshiping Jesus, you're still going for it for Jesus. And if you find someone who's going for it for Jesus at the same pace as you, then that's amazing. But keep God at the center of it all, and it's 10 times better. So, yeah.
That's great. Thank you. Okay, well, Beth and I are just going to have a little dad and daughter chat now, which you're welcome to listen in on if you want to. So, Beth, you and Jake are in a relationship, right?
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. Sometimes, right, even if you know, right, that you're doing the right thing by not sleeping together before you're married, it can still be possible for other people to get the wrong idea. For instance, right? Say, for instance, you went on holiday and shared a room, or maybe you went camping and shared a tent or whatever. Do you think it matters what other people think, if, as long as you know you're doing the right thing or not doing the wrong thing?
Yeah, it does matter what other people think, definitely. Because I might know that, okay, say Jake lived somewhere else and I decided to go stay at his house because that was the easy option. That doesn't necessarily mean that, like, people are going to assume that if I'm staying at Jake's house and they see me coming out of Jake's house in the morning, they're going to assume that something, excuse me, Dad, has gone on.
We're cool with this. It's okay. It's okay.
So, yeah, it definitely does matter. And I know, being a youth leader, it's important for me to be setting examples, especially if I'm telling, like, you guys or young people that, no, you shouldn't live with your boyfriend until you're married, or no, you shouldn't sleep together until you're married. And I know for me they're really important, mainly because marriage is, you want something to look forward to. Like, you don't just want to have done everything and then be like, oh, yay, we're married, I get a ring, that's about it. Like, yeah, we're already living together, yeah, we've already done all that. Like, you might as well save stuff until you're married. And yeah, sometimes it can be hard, especially, I don't know, but if you're in a relationship with somebody who's not a Christian and they're going to want to live with you, it can be really, really hard to say, no, I want to wait. Like, yes, it may seem so practical to live together. Yes, it may seem like the easiest thing. We'd save loads of money. We'd get to see each other all the time. But just wait. Just save that. Like, that's really important, because it may seem like the practical, simple, easy thing to do, but in the long run, your relationship will probably be so much stronger and so much better because you would have saved all that and waited for all of that. And then when it does come, when you do get married, you have so much more to look forward to.
Brilliant. And without giving too much away about next Saturday's wedding talk, God honours those and God blesses those who do things according to his model for life. And that's an amazing thing, and it's a fact. It's fact. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to go to Kat next, actually, on this question, because what if a young Christian feels they've blown it with God because they've done something that they know is wrong?
That's never, ever the case. Like, God's forgiveness can go way beyond anything we imagine we deserve, kind of thing. God sent his son to die on a cross for you because he loves you. Like, that is how big his love is for you. That is how big his forgiveness is. So there is nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can do that can put you out of God's reach. each one of us who are sat here up at the front, every person who speaks up at church, every leader at youth club has done stuff that we seriously regret. Serious, massive mistakes which we just feel like absolute muppets for and have probably wallowed in some kind of feeling of guilt for quite a long time. Every single one of us has done that. That is really, really normal. And God is always reaching out to us, and he always, always wants us to come back to him. So whatever you've done, if you ever feel like you've done something and you just think, how can God love me when I've done this? How could I be a Christian when I live like this? And maybe you've tried to get it right and you just keep going back and making the same mistakes again and again. And just think, I just can't do it. Don't give up. Don't give up on God, because he doesn't give up on you, and his forgiveness is just so big. And once he's forgiven you, you are forgiven. If your heart really means it, if you really mean you're sorry and you want to live differently, then that's it, you're forgiven. The slate is wiped completely clean. And there's nobody who's like an exception to that rule. It's the case for everybody. So if there is something that you feel, I just feel really bad about this, I would really encourage you to pray with somebody. You don't have to tell them what it is. You can just say, can you just pray that I would really feel God's forgiveness? And I'd know that, because I just can't. Like, definitely, there's so many people here that would be comfortable and would love to pray that with you. And they don't need to know what it is. You don't have to tell them. Yeah.
Great stuff. Okay, I think we'll leave it there, because, you know, when you ask questions like these, inevitably in people's minds sparks off loads more questions. I would imagine that there's stacks of things as a result of the things that these guys have said tonight that maybe you want to chat some more about, want to ask some more questions. I don't think they'd mind if you did. And of course, you know, any of the other Christians in this church, they've got stories to tell, they've got experiences of God to talk about, they can testify to the way in which God has done amazing things in their life, and when they've offered their life to God and made themselves available to him, he's worked through them to reach out to other people as well. So, you know, that can be just the beginning of lots and lots of questions. And as we've said, it's good to question. It's good to talk about it. It's good to explore. It's good to ask people's advice. And I'm thankful for a church family where that type of atmosphere is encouraged and those opportunities exist. So thank you very much to all you guys here. Fantastic. Well done. You can relax now.